What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one today on Cody and Gold, some sad news out of the NBA. Hall of Fame head coach Jerry Sloan, of course, took the Jazz to the NBA Finals in 97-98, passing away today at the age of 78. Jerry Sloan, complications recently to Parkinson's disease, also is dealing with dementia as well. 23 years, coached the Jazz, of course, Stockton Malone, and watched any of The Last Dance, you obviously saw some of that, and even saw some of the post-game comments from Jerry Sloan at the time. I know there were reports over the last year or two that he wasn't doing all that well, but really sad news there. One of the best coaches to ever do it.
Yeah, really sad. Great, an amazing career, both collegiate and at the NBA level. Number two for What's Trending, the Jets and Jamal Adams have reached an apparent impasse in his attempt to get an extension done. Obviously, this is not the first time we've heard about the Jets and Jamal Adams in said difficulty in contract talks. Two sides have had multiple conversations since the draft, but said he told them he would prefer to wait on a long-term deal. He wants the deal before the season. They want to wait. He wants it now, and that's typically where you hit these points. Now, he's just 24 years old and a tremendous safety. Now, presumably, they would just franchise tag him, right, down the road. They can hold on to him a little bit longer. It's not the same as quarterbacks. You risk a lot more by not signing a contract with them, but just lock him up. Lock him up. He's a really, really, really – this is one of those players I would not worry about giving the extension to. He's a really good player, super young, and is only, at this point, I would presume, going to get better. He's got 1 year left on his deal after this year, though, because of the fifth-year option. Then they could franchise him. I mean, they don't have to get a deal done because they could still hold on to him for three more years without doing anything.
And former Cowboy Michael Irvin was down on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and he told them the Jets are asking for a first and third round pick for Jamal Adams. That's at least what Irvin's saying. So if you're wondering what kind of trade value, that's what it would take. First and a third for Jamal Adams, one of the better safeties in the National Football League. Number three on What's Trending, the IOC president, Thomas Bach, said the Tokyo Olympics have to take place in 2021 or they will just be canceled. We know they were supposed to be, starting in a couple of weeks from now initially, right? I think they would have started in early June or July, and that clearly wasn't possible, and so they pushed it to next year, and because of the Olympic cycle, if it doesn't happen in 2021, it's just not happening. They're still going to call it the 2020 Olympics in 2021. But if it's not 21, they're going to move on.
It's too close. Now we got Winter Olympics.
Then you got the Winter Olympics going on. Makes sense to me. Makes plenty of sense.
How about the winter and summer in the same year? I mean,
they can't. Too much.
Look, dude, by 2021 now, based on where sports are going, I'm presuming they're going to have the Olympics. They built way, you talk about, actual things that could lose money. As much as MLB and NFL make up their numbers, the Olympic host site
of Tokyo,
my God, would just have dumped a small country's GNP for an entire year.
Yeah,
Tokyo
spent a fortune on new facilities.
Oh, God, it would just be brutal if they didn't get it. Number four for What's Trending, the Associated Press got a source that said the NHL Players Association executive board is voting on get this number, 24-team playoff proposal as a return-to-play format. So, yeah, remember we talked about all these teams that are like, well, maybe they can just cut some regular season. We know why the NBA would be interested in getting to 70 games because that allows them to fulfill their radio contracts, right? So, or their television contracts. So that being an important note. But 24 teams is – that's all of them. That's all the teams. I know it's not every single team.
No, it's all the United States teams. There's seven in Canada.
That's every team.
24 teams in the postseason? That's nuts.
Dude, hockey's wild, too. Like, you could legit win as the 24 seed and beat the one seed. It doesn't make sense, but if it were, only a three-game set or something, legitimately, the 24th seeded team could beat the first seeded team because hockey is bizarre. It is, the weirdest play more. It's the one playoff format where the eighth seed can actually win the title. In baseball, that's not really plausible. In the NFL, it never happens. Being the final seed, maybe you get through, maybe it's a 60 you sneak through. I get it. The Packers have been a wild card team and won it.
Yeah, the Giants.
But dude, it is pretty hard to be the worst team in the playoffs and still win it. Maybe you're a 6 seed. We're not usually the worst team in the playoffs and still do it. I don't think they can win the title, but the 24th seed can actually stun some people.
Lastly, on what's trending, if you remember back in March, it looked like the National Football League was going to go ahead and give 2K Sports a shot at challenging EA Sports Madden and the monopoly that they have, allowing them to come up with their own game. Sports Business Journal reporting here in the last half hour that, well, that's not going to happen anymore. EA is in line starting next week to announce a big exclusive extension again with the National Football League. So maybe the NFL leaked that out there to and use the 2K Sports for some leverage to increase what that deal is going to be for EA Sports, because it doesn't look like if you're planning to have two NFL games and starting after 2021, looks like Sports Business Journal saying not going to happen. You're stuck with Madden still.
I thought they were going to like just let them do like the non-game simulation game. Like, I can't get an NBA stream.
Not anymore.
EA hasn't changed their Madden product in a decade.
That was the hope and the good part of 2K Sports getting it, is that they would push EA Sports to better the product a little bit. But
guess the NFL,
you and I need to get in another game here. It's a long weekend.
Yeah, EA. I got to get in a game with a listener as well. I promise. Remember, we put that out the other day.
Send us some game requests.
I actually have a game request. Okay. I'm going to play a stranger from the internet.
How's that any different than what you're doing if you play online anyway?
I don't really play.
Send
online.
Cody a tweet at Cody B. Tapp, or myself at Alex Gold if you want to play. We're both on Xbox though. If you want to get a Madden game of this weekend, we'll exchange the.
It's a holiday weekend. And I have nowhere to go, so I guess what's the difference, right?
Just gonna play Madden all weekend. Is that what you're gonna do?
I mean, I guess, right? I mean, what am I doing at that? By the way, real quick extra what's trending. I did see at least one NFL team taking precautions when it comes to getting ahead of maybe the possibility of fans in there, but only a partial. The Pittsburgh Steelers will only sell 50% of their available non-season tickets.
Oh, okay.
So, like, their individual tickets are like, we'll sell 50% for now. We'll worry about the rest later. Just because, look, if it's going to be half full, let's not sell all these tickets and have to figure out refunds.
Yeah, refund. Yeah, whoever the poor soul is that has to go back through and refund everybody their money, doesn't seem like a fun job. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 12:30, we'll look at the other Dynasty contenders. Are there other Dynasty contenders in the National Football League in another edition of Good Idea, Bad Idea? But Andy Reid, speaking to the media here, just wrapping up a little while ago, and you mentioned the Steelers altering their season ticket plans. Well, the league, how are they altering maybe some precautions for the start of the season? Andy Reid was asked about the league's current precautions for upcoming games in 2020.
Well, they're going through a lot of things, whether it's studies of other sports that are starting up around the world. They're keeping close track on that. I'm sure they've talked about it. I haven't been in the meetings, but I know they're meeting a lot on exactly player safety and fan safety. So, I know whatever they come up with will be good. And, it's also the union that works with the players union also works with them on that. So, they'll come up with a good solution. I don't know what those are right now, but I know we'll be good once it happens.
It'll be interesting if the guidelines, because we know there will be some sort of health guidelines in place by September, when the season, September 10th, supposed to open up, Chiefs-Texans. Are they going to be as strict, I guess that's the word to use, as Major League Baseball's, which that document leaked out, and it was, you know, the no high-fiving and no spitting and no licking your fingers and no doing this. I mean, quarterbacks sometimes, to get some grip on the football, will lick their fingers too. So, like, are we going to have some of those exact same things for the NFL? I think some. I don't know if it's by September, are things dialed back? Heck, Major League Baseball can come out with those guidelines. That might be the guidelines for the first week or first month of the season. There's no stipulation that says they can't revert back and pull some of those guidelines away once they're a month or two in the season if they feel things are a little bit safer. So the NFL, I think, is still in the great spot. They can truly see what guidelines do and do not work for the NBA, for Major League Baseball, for, heck, even college football to a certain extent for a week or two before the start of the season. So, I'm not worried about the league's precautions per se, as long as they are working with the players' union to make sure that they're not taking a bigger risk than they should be just to get the money.
Yeah, my guess is whatever baseball and NBA put in play, those will be the safety precautions for the remainder of the season. But the NFL might very well look at some of those and decide whether or not they need, like, temperature checks going into games or whatever they're going to establish as a safety precautions. The Major League Baseball, you know, that's still said to be the biggest concern for the players. They want to make sure they're okay which seems pretty reasonable considering they're taking the risk and the owners want him to take a pay cut on top of it. But I, again, the reason why we assume the NFL will work so much better than others is because we now assume that, you know, they'll take, they've got the time to take and make sure they get those decisions right. But I also don't know what it's going to look like. Again, you'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I'd have told you no one in the stands at all for the rest of 2020 sports, but I'm starting to think that there's going to be some people in the stands, at least for some portion of it.
Yeah, I don't know about week one. Who knows? Week one of the season. But at some point in the NFL year, I am with you. At some point, I think there will be a select amount of fans in stadiums, and some stadiums might have more than others. I don't think it's going to be uniform. I think that will be left up to the teams, and based off of their communications with their local health officials. Are this stadium and this city is going to allow 25,000 fans, and this stadium that actually holds way less is going to only allow 10, because that's why Ohio State is out here saying we think we can have 20,000 to 40,000 people in the stands still, because their stadium holds 100,000, so you can separate everybody more. So it's going to truly be on a stadium by stadium. Yeah.
Those are all loosening too. I mean, Brett McMurphy just said the SEC will allow on-campus workouts starting June 8th. So remember we said the NCAA could do it. Now the conferences are starting to admit when people can start having people on campus. I mean, things are changing very rapidly in that department. So Andy's right. They probably just don't have a full picture yet of what that's going to look like. But I'm assuming at this point they're going to have a pretty lengthy safety protocol. But that, you know, all those things aren't sorted yet.
Some bigger news earlier in the week was about the Rooney Rule and the adjustment. One, there was the one resolution that was tabled, which would have given draft incentives if you do hire a minority head coach or general manager candidate. But also the one thing that is enacted immediately and really won't, I guess, be in use until the end of this upcoming season, but it's official for this year, is the requirement to have two interviews with minority coaching and general manager candidates if you're trying to fill that vacancy. Also, you can't block coordinators. So Andy Reid, of course, Eric Bieniemy earlier in the week had been asked about it as well. Andy Reid's thoughts on both Eric Bieniemy and the changes to the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, well, first of all, keep being you, right? So that's always the most important thing, and it's gotten him to this point. And he'll have an opportunity here as a head coach, but listen, I think anything that helps opportunity, I'm good with, as long as it doesn't put that person in a bind or disadvantage coming in, you know, whatever it is. So I think in Eric's situation, everybody that interviews, you're in there for only a couple hours with the owners, and so do they really get to know you in that time? And I wish there was an extended period of time that they could visit with you. And we're always cramming in, owners are always having to cram in these interviews, but to actually have enough time to get to know what the person is all about.
I guess that makes sense. I haven't really thought about that. You know, anybody that's gone through job interviewing process, some of them, and things come together quick, and others, yeah, they're like, yeah, we're in no rush. We're going to take 4 weeks to figure this out. We're going to take our time. Everybody has been in that situation, maybe both situations, where one's happened quick, one's taken a while. And in the NFL, you don't have that luxury. It is true. Like, you have – because if that candidate's not the guy, you got to move on. Or that candidate, you know, is already going to interview with two other teams. You know, you can't be late to the party. And that applies whether or not you're talking about minority coaching candidates or anything. It has nothing to do with that. That just goes all together, which is why I love the idea that you're not going to be able to block coordinators or position coach from interviewing for better positions.
Because then you might have interviewed, like, you know, we joke about, like, hey, they're not having a hard time getting the interview as a whole. You're not wrong. But more and more interviews means you do get to sit in front of those guys more. Like, at least the head coach, right? I understand that the owner's not going to sit in every time a head coach goes to interview a coordinator. The owner might not sit in on Mike Kafka's interview.
Sure.
But he's going to know that guy's been around. He's going to then talk to the manager about the possibility the guys are going to be there. The name's going to be on his mind. It stands to benefit them at least a little bit. But but that's also the problem with the system is, like, well, if you know he's not the guy, I'm like, how do you know he's not the guy? If you don't, like, maybe that's where, like, maybe Andy's hinting at something that they haven't considered yet that might actually be the answer, which is you can't just interview the guy. You have to interview him for 8 hours. Well, make the time. Give everyone the identical amount of time. You don't get to decide you interview one guy for 14 hours and one guy for an hour. Every candidate you bring in for a head coaching opportunity is an 8-hour interview or a 4-hour interview.
Yeah.
And that's the block of time everybody gets in that scenario. Make your decision that way.
And I'm not going to pretend to know how long normally these coaching interviews go. I mean, you hear stories all the time that they, you know, whoever they ended up hiring, they spent the whole day. And heck, Jerry Jones had Mike McCarthy stay at his house. Remember that? While Jason Garrett was still staying at his house during the interview.
Yeah, let's do an equal playing field. A minority candidate never had any chance in that. McCarthy's just kicking it at his place. You got to set up guidelines to make this interview process equal.
Oh, it should be equal, but I don't think in any interview process you should be stipulating that somebody has to be interviewed for 4 hours or 8 hours. I think that's a little crazy to me. It needs to be a level playing field, but like to suggest that we've all gone through interviews, to suggest that, well, Cody, your interview was 45 minutes, mine was only 20 minutes, why didn't I get – like that's crazy to me. That's insane to me.
But I understand that's not how it works in general, like in life. You might have a longer interview than me for the same job, but the NFL is not the normal world. It's not the normal world. We don't have to operate under normal systems. They're only going to interview 4 or 5 candidates anyway. You get a 4-hour interview. He can't kick it at your crib. He can't say
in
your place.
Was referring to. I think Andy Reid was talking about more like the time frame. Like some candidate, like by the time they interviewed you, they may have already made their mind up on someone else. Which, by the way, happens in regular life all the time.
But at least
He was saying that. Oh, it seems like Eric Bieniemy only got, let's say, an hour, and the guy they ended up hiring got 8 hours. I don't think that's what he was alluding to. Alluding to like just the overall time frame of things being rushed.
Okay, great.
In the process.
The minority candidates have to be the ones you interview first.
Fine.
You're not allowed to talk to anybody else. You know, like, there's lots of ways you can do to adjust this. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the problem is once again, is inequality in the system. And not even, like, intentional inequality. Let's say Mike McCarthy, for instance, right? He stayed at his place. They had dinner. They went to the club. And now they're going to bring in Eric Bieniemy for an interview. Like, what's the point?
Well,
this is a charade.
But... okay, then the interviews need to be held after the Super Bowl because that was a problem that Eric Bieniemy had last year too. Is that they made a run to the Super Bowl and he wasn't available to do interviews, and everybody else had already interviewed for every available job.
I think that's a great.
I 1,000% agree.
I think that's a great point, and that's unfortunately that's something that we hope in a way comes into play again, meaning that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a disadvantage that Eric Bieniemy is going to have in all likelihood, or Mike Kafka could have in all likelihood, or whoever else that you believe is a potential coaching coordinator, head coach candidate elsewhere, is the way the NFL system in that regard is set up. It's tough. Teams aren't willing to wait because they want to get a head start. They don't want to wait, usually. It's happened. It's not as if nobody's ever waited, but they don't want to wait till February 7th. They want to have their guy January 15th or January 20th. And so, yeah, that is a huge issue and a disadvantage if you're on a playoff team. We have seen guys teams and owners know that they're going to be willing to wait an extra week or two. And I think you do have to wonder, like, if for Eric Bieniemy, the same conversation is going to come up. The Chiefs are all likely going to at least be in a deep portion of the playoffs.
And he'll probably get the job this year. He's been around the league a lot. He's more than enough qualified. He's going to have a top 5 offense in the NFL. He should have gotten it years ago, but he'll get it this year. I just, like, that doesn't excuse the fact that he should have already had the job.
No, absolutely not. But I'm just, that's still a challenge that's not going to go away, though. And, you know, they haven't made changes to that. Like, that's something that can still come up.
The
Super Bowl or a deep playoff run versus the guy that his team didn't make the playoffs or they got knocked out of the wild card or whatever it may
be. I agree. There's teams that want to get a jump on it. The problem is, like, I think you set that just as soon as, like, if you fire your guy after the regular season, you have to wait till after the Super Bowl. You do still have to offer the opportunity for teams if they fire their coach mid-year. Maybe don't. Screw it.
Well, then everybody's going
to be
fired.
You know what? Take it back.
Everybody's going to be fired.
Fire the coach week 15?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Everybody's just
people will rig the system. You're not wrong.
People would be like, all right, fine, we'll fire this guy week 15, 16 of the season.
No, you're right.
It's tough. It is a tricky situation. I think the more, though, there's an open discussion about it, we're bound to find what is a very good solution. Right, try to act like the problem didn't exist, which is what I think happened for a little while. They had the Rooney Rule, and they're like, "Oh, we fixed this," and then they didn't really touch it for a while. And now, clearly, it's not been working. And so now people are throwing out all the ideas, and that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Coming up in 10 minutes, are there any other contenders? Looking at dynasty contenders in the National Football League, that's 10 minutes away. But let's get to our trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
So we go to Peru for this one. I don't know if you've been to Peru or anywhere along those parts in the world, Cody. You've traveled more than I have, I believe, outside of the country. But Peruvian mayor.
I've never been to Peru.
Okay, just throwing a shot in the dark there to see if you had. Peruvian mayor poses as corpse to avoid arrest for flouting the coronavirus lockdown. So the mayor of a town posed as if he was a dead coronavirus victim. He lied in a coffin while wearing a face mask to avoid being arrested for violating lockdown rules that he should have been helping enforce. So this guy was out drinking with his friends on a Monday night when he allegedly played dead to throw off cops who had arrived to bust him for defying the public health orders amid the pandemic. The mayor apparently was already facing criticism for being absent much of the time during the outbreak. He was detained for violating curfew and social distancing laws.
He pretended to be dead. He laid in a coffin?
Inside of a coffin. He went to that extreme because he knew he was going to get busted again.
Why doesn't he just quit being mayor and just break the rules like a normal dude? It doesn't sound like he really wants to be mayor.
Who just has a coffin lying around? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna. He go. Where do you just go buy a coffin down the road? I mean, you're not doing that.
Tough call. I'm not. I haven't really looked into how hard it is to purchase a coffin.
I mean, yeah, I can go buy, but you're not doing that. You don't. What am I, you don't just have one sitting in your basement. That'd be very creepy right now. By the way, if you did, really.
Yeah, it'd be a little weird, really, I guess. Creepy. I don't really creepy.
Oh yes,
maybe it's a Halloween decoration.
If I came in out of some,
I have Christmas decorations. I can't have a coffin in my basement.
Yeah, the coffin is that. You could just try to sell me on the Halloween decoration. Mm-hmm, at least that's how you would have to sell me on it. Gold. That's just something around Halloween we put in the front yard.
Yeah, we put in the front yard. Scare the kiddos.
Sure. Uh huh.
Yeah. My kid yesterday asked if she could dress up like a pumpkin.
Yeah, she didn't ask you, Dad, can I go lay in a coffin?
No, but look, I mean.
Because that would be concerning.
I don't know why he had a coffin, but I appreciate the ingenuity, I guess, at the very least. He still got busted, though, so he only gets like a C for the attempt.
Yeah, how did they catch him?
He still got.
How did they
catch him? I don't
know,
he's breathing?
Well, I mean, was the coffin on the side of the road? Where was the coffin?
I don't think they just go around poking, all the bodies in coffins with a stick or anything.
Well, that's what I'm asking. His friends probably snitched.
Someone
snitched. His friends would all MJ, poor Horace Grant, but this was for the mayor. That's what happened. I think his friends snitched.
It really is like next level. To commit to that level of this bit just to avoid getting in trouble, it feels like maybe just drink at home.
I feel like you're the most likely one to do this, though, on the show.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, look. No. I've gotten in trouble plenty of times. We've already talked about it. I've been I always pretty much just accept my. I've never tried to run any of the times I was in trouble. I mostly just accept defeat. I know that I'm not getting away with it, so I just accept defeat. Anytime I've been in actual trouble, I've accepted defeat. School, whatever. Whatever it be. It's always that way.
That's our trash of the day. Coming up next, are there any other dynasty contenders in the NFL? Plus, we play good idea, bad idea.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up at 1 o'clock, it's our weekly conversation with Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. Get his thoughts on some of the things Andy Reid had to say about that proposal that's out there. We'll be voted on next Thursday with the onside kick alternative. Anything else that stood out? And he also, Pete had a chance to catch up with the coach of Legarius Sneed. So we'll get his thoughts on what stood out from that conversation. Well, coming up at 1 o'clock. Reminder, you can listen to us with the free radio.com app. Also, check out any interviews you missed, any of our podcasts as well, on the 435 Podcast Network, 610sports.com. We'll get to good idea, bad idea in about 8 minutes. When we look ahead to the NFL for the next 10 years, next 5 years in dynasties, there's no doubt the Chiefs are at the top of that list as far as the most realistic chance to do so. They just won a Super Bowl, and they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and they just are running it back here in 2020, but who after them is best positioned to be one of those dynasties in the National Football League? NFL.com, Adam Schein put together his list of 10. Clearly the Chiefs he had number one. Then after that he goes with the Baltimore Ravens at 2, the 49ers at 3, the Cowboys at 4, and rounding out the top 5 was the Philadelphia Eagles.
If that's 5, there are not that many good candidates.
And that's the thing, are there that many candidates? Baltimore Ravens should absolutely be the second most likely on the list. I just think it is a dramatic drop-off. Baltimore, you do have to say, is the second most likely, I believe. The problem for them is, the team that's number one is an AFC opponent. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. And in the small sample size, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens cannot beat the Chiefs. Now, we'll get another chance in the regular season, week three, and there's a very decent chance they'll have another showdown in the postseason. And in order for them to even start to be considered a dynasty, one, they got to win a ring. We know that. But also, can you just beat the Chiefs? I mean, they haven't won a regular season game against Kansas City. So start there. That's why the gap is so bad. But they are a little more stable than these other organizations. Lamar Jackson is legit. Harbaugh is one of the best coaches in football. It's a stable organization. It appears they have a long-term plan. They draft well consistently. Their defense got better. They are better positioned than anybody else on the list other than Kansas City. But there's, I think, just such a gap because of where Kansas City's already sitting.
The answer is no one. Like, doing a list like this, I'm not even just trying to knock it. I understand what you're trying to do. Like, essentially, who are the teams likely to go on good consecutive year runs? You know how rare dynasties run together? Never. And notice I said together. That's not an accident. I'm not misspeaking. I'm pretty confident the Chiefs are getting ready to go on one. Maybe it's overly optimistic if you want to say I'm being a homer. That's fair. But the Chiefs happen to have the best quarterback in the NFL. A top three coach, if not the best coach, in the NFL. That's a rare combination. And go back through all the great dynasties, with the exception being the Patriots, because theirs lasted so impossibly damn long. Because maybe you say, oh, maybe were the Colts a dynasty when they got two Super Bowls? And no, they weren't close. Dynasties are teams that go on a four-year run, five-year run, with at least two Super Bowl titles, and I would say three Super Bowl appearances. Or, you know, multiple AFC, you know, because, like, I think of the Broncos of that back-to-back Super Bowl. That's a dynasty to me. They were super competitive for a four-year run. They won back-to-back Super Bowls at the end of that four-year run. That, to me, is a dynasty. Those two things don't run together very often. Other teams win Super Bowls. Other teams have great moments. But this idea that there's going to be a second team that throws punches with them, like the Colts and the Patriots are semi-recent because those two teams were throwing blows back and forth. And the Patriots just got the better of those blows more often than the other. But none of these teams strike me as being that way, other than if you say the Ravens finally take that leap. And like, they got to take that leap and beat Kansas City. The rest of the people on that list, including like some of the laughable ones like the Bills, it ain't happening.
It's not even the Niners, man. The Niners were just in the Super Bowl, and I think John Lynch has done a great job, but they got Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback. And you're not going on a dynasty run with Jimmy Garoppolo. No. I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl, by the way, with Jimmy Garoppolo, period. So.
Serta will help you with this real quick. Hey, Serta, football expert on the show, what lasts longer in the NFL, great offensive runs or great defensive runs?
Generally offense, because it's easier to produce.
And it's not close, right? How long are elite defenses elite, even in like the best possible scenario? 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the outlier there is the Legion of Boom, who they were dominant for probably like a 3-year run.
Three.
But even most recently, like the dominant Bears defense was really only dominant for a season.
The dominant Ravens defense with Ray Lewis, they were really good for a 5-year run. They were dominant for one. They were probably great for two. Then they were just like, hey, look, we're a top 10 defense in the NFL for the other three. Which, you know what they did do those other 3 years? Not win the Super Bowl, because they just had some dude at quarterback. Elite defense, and that's what drove the 49ers to the Super Bowl. It's not that they weren't good offensively, but the thing that made them a Super Bowl contender was elite defense. If that's where you're starting your, and that's why I at least appreciate this dynasty list you mentioned, because they mentioned the Eagles. They don't mention the Eagles because they think they can be great defensively. They mention the Eagles because when Carson Wentz is healthy, he's young, and that roster is pretty good.
And
they mentioned the Cowboys because they have Dak Prescott. They don't go through the trouble of mentioning teams with defensively led squads.
Right.
Because those teams don't tend. Like, that's why the Tennessee Titans at 8 is laughable.
Yeah, the full list, if you were wondering. So the Cowboys are at number 4 on this, and they weren't even in the playoffs last year. So that, while I love the roster, and I'm higher on Dak Prescott than others, you probably saw that yesterday if you missed it, you can check out the podcast. But we were doing the next 5 years of quarterbacks, and I had Wentz and I had Dak Prescott on mine. I had Dak, though, all the way up at number 2 on that. But still, they can't even win their division. They can't get out of the division. They can't even in the postseason. So it's laughable to consider them there. 5, as you said, was Philadelphia. 6 was Buffalo. Come on now. I like Sean McDermott. I really do.
You better love Josh Allen if you're answering that way.
Josh Allen, there's just no way.
I think I'd rather answer the Patriots than the Bills. And that's so screwed up. because they don't even have a quarterback, but I know Bill Belichick can build a dynasty-esque team.
The Chargers are at number 7. Tyrod Taylor's your quarterback, and Herbert's a rookie behind him. So you've got the Chiefs in your division, so that's just laughable. The Tennessee Titans are 8. I think they take a huge step back anyway. Again, this is now talking about just dynasties.
You know why you think they're going to take a step back?
Cleveland's 9 on this, too. Cleveland! The word dynasty in Cleveland doesn't fit. Should not even be uttered in the same sentence ever.
Cleveland's got to figure out how to get
win.
To the playoffs first.
Start making playoffs first. Start winning playoff games first.
What was last year the Browns made the playoffs? To make the playoffs with one of those like late Jeff Garcia years or something?
It was in the 2000s. It was with Kelly Holcomb. I don't remember the exact
year. Kelly Holcomb? Was it like 2005 or something?
Remember that 500-yard game Kelly Holcomb had?
I do not remember that game. I actually do not. No, I do. 2002.
Didn't he have a 500-yard game?
They lost to the Steelers in the wild card round of 2003, 2002 playoffs, but January 2003, and then before that it was 1984. So, yeah, and somehow they're on the top 10 of dynasty contenders. Okay.
But again, the reason why, weirdly enough, I would choose them over the Titans, dead serious, is because maybe they have quarterback right. Like, no team is going on a dynasty run with Ryan Tannehill. Okay? It's just not going to happen.
No.
It's just straight up not going to happen.
So that's
and I apologize. It was not a 500-yard game. It was a 413-yard game Kelly Holcomb. 5 touchdowns, too. I just remember that one huge offensive game he had back in 2004. Not that that's super important. But, no, it's just not. You have to choose teams with quarterback. That's why the actual answer is, name what other rookie quarterback got taken this year or the team. You know who's most likely to be the next dynasty team? I don't know. Justin Fields with the Patriots. Like, I might as well just play hypothetical roll-the-dice scenario
Lawrence,
I'm not taking
Swift,
the Chiefs
and
the Ravens. That's it. Maybe the Seahawks, because Russell Wilson will drag the corpse of a defense they have now close to the Super Bowl every year. But I got to think they're going to go through a 4-year, 5-year run like that, and that's just hard to imagine right now.
All right, let's get to good idea, bad idea. Zack Snyder apparently has been cut for Justice League. Serta, good idea, bad idea.
Bad idea.
It's just a 4-hour extended cut with all of the things he claims that the studio pulled from the movie. It's also a very toxic online fan base. I think the Snyder Cut people suck, and I don't really care about the movie. It's going to be 4 hours long. It's probably not going to be that good because I don't respect Zack Snyder as a film director or an artist.
Are you going to watch it, though?
Yeah, probably.
Come on, seek help!
So it's, what, $20 million they're cutting from the budget? Is that right?
No, it's going to take $20 to $30 million to finish it.
To cut it, I got you.
The movie has already been released, and it's widely regarded as one of the worst superhero films ever made. But
that checks out.
But Zack Snyder has maintained since the release of that movie that that movie is nowhere near what his vision was because he got booted from the movie halfway into filming, and so they reshot a bunch of stuff that he had already done.
This sounds like a terrible idea.
$20 to $30 million.
Sounds like a very, very, not very good idea. That's what I would suggest. You got one, Serta?
Tom Brady texting Sean Payton, "You're the favorites."
Good idea.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. What's the harm in it? He's trying to rattle Sean Payton's cage. Not that he necessarily needs that, because they have choked in the playoffs multiple years in a row. He's paying homage while also making Sean Payton remember that now Tom Brady is in the division. And they have competition now. Like, one, it's the combination of two things. It's doing the thing you're supposed to do, because the Patriots, if there's one thing I know they love to do, it's make themselves the underdog. For the first time in an actual time, Tom Brady legitimately can say that for the first time in forever. And he was pretty good at painting himself as the underdog anyway, right? This is a real time he can do it. This is a great idea to send that to Sean Payton, because you're reminding him that you exist while also putting yourself in the I'm the underdog camp.
How long does that last? I mean, is that after week five?
Depends on the records, I would guess. Yeah. I need to know their records. If they beat them week one, do you get to still claim you're the underdogs in the division?
No, I mean, if by the way, the NFL's hope, if Tom Brady, they go and beat the Saints week one of the season, oh, people are going to lose their damn mind.
Of course they
are. There's already some people that think the Bucs are going to be a Super Bowl contender. I don't. But if they beat the Saints week one, it's going to be insane. How many people are going to think Tom Brady's head to another Super Bowl? He's going to do it with the Bucs. Just after one win against the Saints, you know that's coming.
1,000% that's coming. All right, good idea, bad idea, Gold. Serta said on his fantasy podcast last night, Forced to Punt, which you can listen to on the 435 Podcast Network, he would rather draft Cam Newton in fantasy this year than Drew Lock, a known starter for the Broncos.
Bad idea.
I feel like you need to hit it three times for me on this one. Bad idea, bad idea, bad idea. How are you going to draft Cam Newton? He's not on a roster, man. Drew Lock at least is going to play. I know he's playing week one. Even if he sucks for a little while, like, at least it doesn't hurt to have him on the bench in my NFL, my fantasy football roster. Cam Newton's not playing.
There's logic to this.
Okay. All right.
And part of it stems from Dusty Likens being way too gaudy in his predictions for Drew Lock and being way over the top and talking about where he's going to draft him. Drew Lock is not a week one rosterable quarterback. You should not draft him in your fantasy leagues, although I do have a lot of faith in his offense because I think that they've got enough skill players and talent that he could be successful next season. I don't have faith in going into week one of the fantasy football season with him as my starting fantasy quarterback. So if you draft him as your starting fantasy quarterback, your team's not going to be very good, especially if you draft him high. He is a week one waiver wire ad. Like, if he has a big week one of the regular season, you know, throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns, he's a week one waiver wire ad at best. So if we're talking about drafting a quarterback in our fantasy drafts and I'm just going to waste a roster spot, I'd rather waste a roster spot on Cam Newton than Drew Lock.
I actually do get your initial logic. You're probably correct on that. Then why would I draft Drew Lock? Certainly don't draft your starter. That makes total sense to me. But the last part you just said still doesn't. Well, you maybe don't draft Drew Lock. You know, he's not rosterable. But neither is Cam Newton, man. He's not on a roster yet. And even if he is by week one, he's a backup. He's got to hope someone gets hurt.
Quick question, sir. How have you spent this entire offseason literally gushing about the Broncos' weapons? Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant, added another wide receiver in the draft. And then you just be like, Drew Lock's just going to be a dude?
I know. I'm saying that I do think that offense is going to be good. You will not find me drafting Drew Lock in my fantasy leagues, though.
That's fine. Yeah. But Cam Newton...
Yeah, when Cam Newton's healthy, Cam Newton's one of the five best fantasy quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, but it's not just Cam Newton. It's a big if Cam's healthy. And then, you need someone else to be unhealthy.
Cam's playing next year.
Someone else has to become unhealthy in order for Cam to play.
It is like seven stages, it seems like, before Cam Newton gets a job. Got to find a team, get signed, somebody get hurt.
I feel like I'm better stashing Andrew Luck in a keeper league. Just in case he comes back next year midseason.
I have Andrew Luck on a keeper roster.
There you go. I like it.
The roster?
It's deep.
What do you got, 40-man roster spots?
Something
baseball?
Like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you also stashing Jeff George?
That's only Whitlock's
No.
team. That's not
I also stashed Gronk for a year in that league, and now I still have Gronk.
Now that was a smart – I'll give you credit on that one. I just the Cam thing. I saw your podcast. You can check it out. You can listen to it. But I saw the tweet last night, and I was like, hold up.
I got to just take Drew Lock instead.
That's a good idea, bad idea here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 15 minutes at 1 o'clock, we'll talk with Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. We'll get his thoughts on a potential Mahomes deal this summer. Those comments from Clark Hunt, Chiefs owner and CEO, and he did have a chance to catch up with the college coach of L'Jarius Sneed just a few days ago. But there was a tweet that went viral and had, I think you even responded to it, Cody, as well, and it was step forward, get ridiculed, name a TV show or movie. We're going to do a TV show, though. That is loved by almost everyone, but you absolutely hate it. And you're listening around, you know there's one that came to your mind already. You're thinking, oh, I got it. There's like three that came to my mind immediately. I'll start with you. TV show that most people view favorably, but you just can't stand it.
Well, let's take yours too, by the way. Smitty's Garage, Burger Beer, text line 69306. There aren't many shows I hate, but I try to think of a show like that everyone loved that if I never saw another episode of for the rest of my life,
okay,
I'd be fine. And my answer is Family Guy. I just don't need it.
I'm surprised
I don't
by
need
this.
It. Why?
I figured that's right up your alley. I kind of feel like that's
in what way?
Comedy, a little funny. I just feel like that it's animated. I feel like you like some of that. Yeah.
I think is this just because I've watched Into the Spider-Verse?
Yeah, actually, that's part of it.
I was like, is there some other logic? Look, there are some animated shows that I've liked over the years. I don't really watch new episodes of The Simpsons, but when I was a kid,
I watched this.
But as a kid, I don't still watch it, but I wouldn't just like erase it off the plane. Like if Family Guy just didn't exist as a show, I'd be fine. Nothing would change for me. Like there are other animated shows I've thought have been significantly better over the course of history, and it's just not one of those shows I need.
I've probably watched like 20, 30 episodes, maybe more of Family Guy. I wouldn't say I love the show, but if it's on, I probably haven't watched it in 2 years at least. But if it was on, if I get into an episode, I can go binge watch a couple in a row really quick.
So, for instance, the options the other night, I was up at like 1 in the morning and I didn't want to put on Netflix or whatever. And I had just like regular TV on and I was flipping through the channels. And the options were Family Guy or weird true crime with bad acting about some murder in the 80s. I watched that at 1:30 in the morning instead of Family Guy. Like my decision, and I didn't even consider, I scrolled through Family Guy so quick it wasn't even a consideration.
This is easy for me, and I'm going to get crushed for it. I've mentioned it on the show, I think, even before. Seinfeld. 100%.
Seinfeld?
I know people love it, and Jerry Seinfeld is so successful. Guy's worth $1 billion. I get it.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know.
Really not a good sign for you for the dislike.
Yeah, which is why the question is people love it, but why I can't stand it. Some of it was
– What don't you like?
Can maybe argue that I was a little too young at the time and I need to go back and rewatch it. Maybe so. The times I have watched Seinfeld, other than the few clips that have gone viral, like the times I have watched it, I didn't find it all that funny. It wasn't – it just wasn't for me. And also, Jerry Seinfeld, not a huge fan of his overall. I just watched his stand-up again, the new special, the 23 Hours to Kill. It's not good. It is not good at all. His voice is whiny. I can't stand his voice. I'm not a big fan of Seinfeld at all.
Out of curiosity, what do you think is funny? We've yet to discover. Like, I don't feel like you've ever
I've been watching stand-up comedies.
Give me a show. Give me a television show you think is funny.
Throw a few out there. I'll tell you if I think they're funny. I don't watch a ton of comedies. You're right, but there's plenty. Throw one out. Throw a couple out at me.
You don't have a single sitcom that you just enjoy?
Yeah, that's what I think.
I watch more dramas than straight-up comedies. I like Modern Family. I like The Goldbergs.
Yeah, I don't think...
I've never really watched Modern Family. I know Goldbergs. It's probably good. I've just never gotten into it.
I didn't find it that funny. And I get it. People
How about
love
Community?
It. Haven't seen that before.
I'm rewatching Community right
the
now,
Office.
Actually.
The Office, I told you guys, I'm on season 3. I just started watching, and I actually think that is funny. There'll be like 2 episodes where I'm like, eh.
Parks and Rec. New Girl.
I haven't watched Parks and Rec. New Girl? New Girl. I think I've seen that one.
How I Met Your Mother. I'm just trying to get a vague idea of
I
what
like
your
2 and a Half Men.
Comedy.
2 and a Half Men.
Look, I'm dead serious. And this take this as an insult if you want, but your like of comedies mirrors that of a 70-year-old lady.
I don't watch many
2 and a
comedies.
Two and a Half Men, The Goldbergs, and Modern Family was like the sitcoms designed for, like, your parents.
What the hell was what do you think Seinfeld was designed for in the 90s?
I'm just
You thought it was designed for the 15-year-old?
I'm not saying it's a more sophisticated brand of comedy. There are more sophisticated
No, I know people love it, but I have no interest in going back and watching it.
What about no, that's fine. We're good. I was just curious.
Yeah, no interest.
I knew that you didn't like it. Look, that doesn't click with everybody. Seinfeld doesn't resonate with everybody. Again, the thing with Family Guy for me is like they overplay bits.
I've told you on TV shows, I'm more likely to watch like How to Get Away with Murder and
totally
ER and Law and Order and that kind of stuff in dramas than I am to watch comedies on TV.
Yeah,
that's
I
all.
Just don't
Serta,
think...
what about you?
I picked Everybody Loves Raymond. I hated this show growing up. And it was, I just didn't, you know, maybe it is funny. I never really watched it consistently, but I had friends who watched it a lot and family members who watched it a lot. And I absolutely despised it. I just thought they all were annoying. I couldn't stand Ray Romano's voice. I just didn't find it funny.
I never got into that show.
I didn't like Frasier.
King of Queens.
Frasier was another one people loved. I can't stand Frasier. Text line, Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line, 69306. I expected this. Golden Girls, right up Gold's alley. Yeah. Yeah. Someone else says, though, they agree with me. Seinfeld is okay. Wouldn't go out of my way to watch it. Friends, someone else saying Friends. Yeah, that was probably a number two on my list. Would have been Friends. There's more Seinfeld agreement with me on the text line than I thought.
There you go, see? You're not alone.
Let's get to last minute.
Last minute. Last minute.
Not long ago, a player placed on injured reserve had his season end. The league then altered the rules to allow for one player placed on injured reserve to return later in the year. Then that was doubled. Now you can bring back two. And according to Albert Breer of SI.com, part of the rule changes the owners are voting on next week will be to allow for a third player to return from injured reserve throughout an NFL season.
I think this is great. Tell me what the negative really is.
There is none. With the increased roster flexibility of the practice squad, too, even if you have to cut someone later in the season, they might still end up with you anyway. It just gives you the flexibility. It's a sport where people get hurt. You should be allowed to shut them down for 8 weeks and then bring them back later and still be able to call people up without having to lose them for the year. It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, this is good. If you have that opportunity, if you're a player, you really love it. There's potential for increased roster. I mean, you're increasing roster size too. Not just if you get hurt, you get to come back and your season's not done, but that means there's really an extra roster spot on the team. If you have multiple guys, you don't have to be cut. You're not going to cut somebody directly with it. I guess at
now
some
people
point
will be cut later down the road.
Later in the season,
if
but
they want to return.
But initially, I guess I wonder if they'll make a change with that as well. Like if there's one, they're already under the new CBA. I thought was going to be one additional roster spot as well to begin with. But no, I love this.
There's legitimately zero downside at all for the NFL. It just gives you the ability to bring back another player that gets hurt in the year. Perfect.
Coming up next in the 1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, we're going to talk with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride, editor in chief over there, about the comments from Chiefs owner Clark Hunt as it pertains to the Mahomes contract that could be coming. And we'll have the results, final chance to vote in our weekend movie nominations. Head to Twitter for that. Cody and Gold, next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.